This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And welcome to the Audio Imaginarium. Come on in, weary traveler, hang your cloak on a peg, grab a stool, and come gather around the fire. There are stories to be told, and you are among friends. Carlos Cagina is the technical producer. Ryan White is the live stream producer. Canadian constitutional lawyer Rocco Galati is here for the full 2 hours. Mr. Galati filed a 191-page lawsuit back in July against multiple levels of government here in Canada over their response to the coronavirus pandemic. The lawsuit seeks several official declarations from the courts that pandemic measures are neither scientific nor medically based, that they are extreme, irrational, and unwarranted, and that they breach multiple sections of our Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Before we get to that, just take a moment to log on to strangeplanet.ca. Register for Inner Sanctum, my free monthly newsletter, strangeplanet.ca. That's your portal to this radio program, The Conspiracy Show, the YouTube channel, my podcast, Conspiracy Unlimited, the Strange Planet merch shop, and more, strangeplanet.ca. And while you're there, under tonight's show information, you'll see a link where you can click and you'll see the PDF of the claim of notice in the Ontario Superior Court. And we'll be discussing that, as I say, for the next full 2 hours. There are very few politicians willing to speak out against the pandemic lockdown here in Canada. Some doctors have spoken out, but you've seen what's happened to them. They've been ostracized, ridiculed, their opinions suppressed by the mainstream media. Where are the various civil liberty organizations across the country in all this? There is an attorney, however, who is standing up against what many of us feel is an overreach on the part of the federal, provincial, and municipal governments. Rocco Galati is a constitutional lawyer and founder of the Constitutional Rights Center, Inc. Galati graduated from McGill University in 1984 with a Bachelor of Arts and then graduated from Osgoode Hall Law School in 1987. In 2011, Mr. Galati brought a case against the Canadian government to restore the Bank of Canada as a lender to the government. The case was brought on behalf of the Committee on Monetary and Economic Reform. They argued that the Bank of Canada is mandated to provide debt-free financing for public projects undertaken by federal, provincial, and municipal governments. We spoke to him at that time, and now here we have Rocco Galati back on the program again. Rocco, welcome. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you, Richard? Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. First, let's get to some very basic questions here. Just explain what the notice of claim is in this case. What is the notice?
Well, the statement of claim, as you mentioned, is 191 pages. Basically, in a nutshell, it seeks, as you say, declaratory relief against the federal, provincial, and municipal government in Toronto. And that, first of all, that Prime Minister Trudeau and Premier Ford have effectively dispensed with Parliament and are ruling under the pretense of royal prerogative, something that was abolished after the English Civil War in 1688. So what they're doing is they're acting as if they were King Charles by basically having a round table of an inner circle and dishing out the law, as it were. That kind of executive order and mandate has now been declared unconstitutional in Romania, in Austria, and in four U.S. states. But that really would beg the question on the COVID measures. So we are actually also seeking declarations from the court that the measures are neither scientific nor medically based, that they're extreme, unwarranted, and overreach, and that they breach our Sections 2, 7, 8, 9, and 15 charter rights, that is, right to freedom of conscience, belief, association, assembly, the very life, breach of the right to life, liberty, and security of the person, the right against unreasonable search and seizure, mainly seizure of the arbitrary, illogical, and insane ways that they have decided what businesses are going to close and what businesses stay open, the right against arbitrary detention by stopping people and searching and seizing private information they have no right to, and Section 15 charter breach, which is the equality provision in our Constitution, and that mostly affects the disabled, both physically and neurologically, and especially children with special needs, and, of course, the elderly, who three groups in particular are bearing the brunt of this vicious, what I say without batting an eye, nor apology, is a global crime against humanity. The poor, the disabled, as I said, both physically and neurologically, especially children with special needs, and the elderly, who constitute 82% of all the deaths purportedly attributed to COVID, have been the elderly in these long-term care facilities. When these reptilian politicians basically put in these laws, they did so without any regard whatsoever as to how the 500,000 neurologically and physically disabled children of this province, for instance in Ontario, are going to negotiate social distancing, isolation, masking. How does it, you know, one of the plaintiffs in my our statement of claim is a 24-year-old severely autistic man who's about 6'2", who has the intellectual capacity of a 4-year-old. How does he understand isolation, social distancing, and lockdown? How does he understand that he can't go rock climbing or playing in the park with his friends as he did? See, the government took no regard to accommodating these types of victims. As with the poor, you know, initially the World Food Bank said that as many as 130 million people could be on the brink of starvation by December, by next month, worldwide, and now they've upped that estimate to 10% of the population. Well, 10% of the population globally is 700 million people. Now, we know since June that 10,000 additional children a month have been starving to death from the COVID measures. When you do the actual numbers, Richard, and we've crunched the numbers not to a scalpel level, but, you know, for every person who they say has died of the COVID virus, we estimate 12 to 14 have died from the measures themselves.
I want to circle back, Rocco, to some of these points, but I just want to get to some other basic questions regarding the actual statement of claim.
Right.
Who are the defendants named?
The defendants are Justin Trudeau, Doug Ford, John Tory, Theresa Tam, the federal health chief official, Williams, the education minister in Ontario, the health minister in Ontario, Dr. Davila, the municipal health officer, and all and any John and Jane Doe's who are assisting in this travesty, who have direct input into the decisions that are made.
All right, and the plaintiffs, I see on the statement of claim, the plaintiffs are Vaccine Choice Canada. Is that right?
Yeah, there's eight plaintiffs. There's Vaccine Choice Canada and eight individual plaintiffs. Seven of those plaintiffs have had their name redacted in the statement of claim that they have posted on the Vaccine Choice Canada website. One person, and that's because of the vile, nasty messages and threats these plaintiffs would like to avoid. The other one who's got a thicker skin, Dr. Denny Roncourt, who is a leading expert on masking and who wrote a paper in April of this year entitled Masks Don't Work, wherein he canvassed the entire scientific literature on masking. And by scientific, I mean random controlled studies, which are the only recognizable studies that are peer-reviewed, and not anecdotal or observational studies. All the studies that are random controlled studies have concluded over the last 2.5 decades that masks do not keep out an airborne virus. And in fact, all the studies also indicate the masks cause grave physical and psychological harm, especially to children.
What damages
are being... Denny Roncourt is also a plaintiff in this.
Okay. Yes, I see his name. It was not redacted. What damages are being sought?
Well, from the government, we haven't sought damages because there's a new law that was conveniently put in last fall by the government of Ontario that if you seek damages, monetary damages from the government or government actors, you have to first get the permission of the court, what we call a leave application, which can, in itself can take a year to a year and a half. So the only damages that have been sought are against the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, CBC, for $11 million. They're not a government actor, but we plead that because they're a state-funded broadcasting agency that is broadcasting under a statutory national mandate, they have a duty, both in negligence and in fiduciary duty to Canadians, to fairly, objectively, and impartially report the news. We plead in the statement of claim, quote, that the CBC has been to the Trudeau government what Pravda was to the Soviet Union during the Cold War. And they have been absolutely and unmitigatedly depraved in their censorship of any view, in their failure to interview anyone who's with expertise who is critical of the COVID measures. And, you know, it's not restricted to CBC. All the other media are executing the same offense. The thing is, with the private media, it's more problematic establishing a duty of care to the public. And, of course, the worst of the media, who are absolutely fascist, Fourth Reich about censorship, is the social media, YouTube, Google, Facebook, Amazon. They have been absolutely criminal in their taking down of people who are Nobel Prize winners, eminent experts in their field around the world, of them freezing the Great Clarington Declaration from people signing on to it by three leading experts in the world in their field. It's absolutely incredible. You could not script this 20 years ago.
Although have any of the defendants filed an answer?
Foundation report.
Have any of the defendants filed an answer, Rocco?
Well, the timelines were frozen in Ontario between March 17th and September 14th. So their time for responding, which in these cases, normally it's 20 days, but in these types of cases, it's routinely 45 to 60 days. So the time is coming up towards the end of November. They have come on board. I know the lawyers are on the other side, but they have not yet responded.
And how is this case being funded, may I ask?
Well, it's being usually you can't ask, but it's being funded by a combination of the plaintiffs and fundraising.
Through fundraising. Okay. Now, let me ask you about the emergency powers the Emergency Management and Civil Protection Act.
Right.
Does that not override any of these complaints, basically, that they have granted themselves the Emergency Management and Civil Protection Act powers?
Well, two things to say to that, Richard. First of all, we seek a declaration from the court that the prerequisite conditions under that act were not met to invoke it at all. There's preconditions. You have to show a viable emergency that's outside the norm. I won't bore the audience with all the conditions that you have to show, but we say they were not met on the scientific and medical evidence. So in these types of cases, you give a government the benefit of the doubt for the first month or two. And if you recall, the thing is, we need these powers to flatten the curve 2 weeks, right?
Right.
Now it's turned into a dictatorship, and not just in Canada, but especially in places like Australia and New Zealand. And they float around the same measures around the world. So certainly at this point, that act is not met, not on any of the evidence. I mean, look, they talk about there's a pornography publication every day of cases. Let's break down what those cases come down to. First of all, they have not isolated the virus. We've done freedom of information requests of more than 7 countries, including Canada, and they consistently come back saying that the SARS-CoV-2 virus has not yet been isolated or registered anywhere. Number one, the tests that are being conducted are so-called PCR tests, which the inventor, a Nobel Prize winner, made it very clear during the HIV outbreak that his machine, his invention, does not test for viruses. What that thing tests for is RNA strands, and they try to piece together a sequence. So, for instance, if you had the flu shot last year, you will test positive under that test. What that machine does is amplify to a certain measure to get a glimpse of what they can see. Typically, they test at 18 to 20 cycles. The cycles are not augmentative. The cycles are exponential. So Ontario is testing at 43 to 45 cycles. So at 43 to 45 cycles, virtually anyone you test is going to test positive. And this was confirmed by Fauci consistently, who said, once you get past 30 cycles, the tests are meaningless. They're all going to be false positive.
Right. So it seems to me there are a number of things going on with that test. Number one, you have false positives, and I've heard anywhere from 50 to 90% on the false positives. And then you have if someone has had the virus and their T cells or their immune system has destroyed the virus,
you still the test will
pick up the remnants of that destroyed virus.
Right.
And then there is the viral load, which you were talking about, how it amplifies. So
right. You
would need, I don't know the numbers, but you would need millions of these viruses in your body in order to be symptomatic.
Right.
So even if you have very few, if you have a very low viral load, you're still going to test positive.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yes. And so the real ratio, the real indicator of whether or not we have a pandemic is even if you take them at their word, is not the cases, but the deaths vis-a-vis population. So, the way they determine a COVID death, again, our health officials have said, is anywhere from 54 to 63% inaccurate. Because if you get hit by a truck and are wheeled in bleeding to death in a hospital and they test you, which they do, and you test positive for COVID, you're listed as a COVID death. If you're dying of cancer in your last days in palliative care and you've got COVID, you're listed as a COVID death. But let's take their numbers at face value at on their best scenario. And so the last time I looked in Canada, I guess 3 or 4 weeks ago, you had 99 or 100 deaths in Canada. Well, on a population of 37 million, that is less than 0.25%. It's 0.0024%. So less than 0.25%. That is not a pandemic. What that is a normal flu season for the last 15 years. The other thing that's insane about this script that they're playing out is they're telling us on a schedule where this virus is going to be in 2021, 2022, 2025. I've never seen a virus hang around that long, and secondly, I've never seen a virus act in accordance with the government's schedule.
True enough. I just wanted to, we're coming up on a break here. I just want to clarify something regarding whether or not SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, has been isolated or not, because there's some conflicting information there. Sunnybrook, I think back in March, Sunnybrook, McMaster, U of T, they said that.
Yeah, but if you read the article, what they spotted were purported theoretic RNA strands from a corona. Nobody's actually isolated the virus. The title of the paper said virus isolated, but when you read the paper, you realize very quickly the virus was not isolated. So that's more bunk.
Okay, so what does that mean then? If we can say that the virus has not been isolated, what are we actually saying then?
Well, in order to isolate a virus, you have to do three things historically. And, you know, first, you have to isolate it. Secondly, you have to purify it. And thirdly, to make sure you got the right one, you got the same thing, you got to reproduce it, replicate it. And then you take it and you inject it into animals to test to see if it actually makes them sick the way that you think the virus actually makes humans sick. And that's why they have animal trials when they're trying to develop a vaccine for a virus. Those are the steps they take. The average virus, the average vaccine takes, 12 to 15 years to develop. The quickest vaccine ever developed in the history of medicine was the measles, which took about 4 years. So now they're getting a virus out here in months. What kind of a virus, what kind of a vaccine are they putting out in months? They've bypassed animal testing because too many of the animals are dying. And we know in at least three of the human testing, people died and they had to stop it. In Ukraine, soldiers died. In Korea last week, 40 people died, and they claim, oh, it's not from the vaccine. Well, then what's it from?
That was a flu vaccine, was it not?
Yeah, well, they're going along, yeah. Well, what do you think?
Okay.
What do you think this virus is? It's just another flu virus.
Rocco, got to take a timeout. Stay put. We'll be back in a moment. Rocco Galati stays with us. Back with more on The Conspiracy Show. Don't go away.
You're listening to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett from Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Rocco Galati is here. He will be with us for the entire show. We will open up the phone lines in the second hour if you have questions or comments, and I'm sure you do. 416-360-0740. But again, just keep your powder dry. We'll open up the phones in just over a half an hour. 416-360-0740 and toll free from just about anywhere, 1-866-740-4740, 1-866-740-4740. Here in Ontario, of course, we have three COVID-19 hotspots that have reverted to a modified stage 2. That was effective back in October 10th for 28 days. So I guess I'll have to revisit that in about a week's time. And here in York region, where I'm sitting, we are also under a modified stage 2. And regional council is to convene tomorrow to discuss, how and when they will they'll start to open things up. So the businesses that are being hurt now, restaurants and indoor gyms and sporting associations and so forth. Like, let's talk about the restaurants. Have they approached you? Do they want in on this action as well?
Well, a lot of individual businesses approach me, but the problem is people are scattered, and people, you can't really do individual cases of this magnitude. People have to group together. Talking about businesses, Richard, people are afraid, and fear, threat of survival is the and surviving is the strongest instinct we have. And what drives a threat of survival is fear, generally. And fear will convince your population to do just about anything. You know, like, I'd like to quote Dr. Sherry Tenpenny from Ohio, who tweeted a few weeks ago and said, for all of those of you who wondered how you would have reacted under the Nazi regime, now you have your answer. Because I ask people not to try to parse the science and the medicine or the law if they have a hard time with that. I ask them to apply what gets most people through life and their success and how they raise a family. Just apply your common sense to the politics and the policy that's been applied by the governments. So 6 months ago, WHO, Theresa Tam, everybody was saying, no, masks are actually dangerous. They don't do anything for the virus, which is true. Now we got a total reversal. We got Theresa Tam saying you have to wear a mask when you have sex, or better yet, masturbate till 2022. You know, if people can't wake up when a health officer is talking that kind of insanity and switching inconsistent positions over the course of weeks, you know, virtually on everything. The businesses. Okay, so why are the businesses being closed? To prevent the spreading of the virus through social distancing. So let me get this straight. Your ma and pa shop gets closed down everywhere, yet the busy Walmarts in the busy malls sell everything that the ma and pa shop can't sell. Now, where is it easier to socially distance, at Walmart or Costco or any of the other corporate conglomerates or the ma and pa shop? I can't get shoes for my growing children, but I can get all the booze I want because that's an essential service. Does that make sense to you? It may if you're an alcoholic.
Right. No, there's very little that makes sense.
The liquor stores are owned by the government, and the government doesn't want to lose its revenue. It's got nothing to do about health and social distancing and transmitting the virus. All the major corporate criminals have doubled their net worth, literally doubled their net worth in 7 months. We are shutting this agenda has been shutting down independent businesses. 40,000 in BC, over 220,000 in Toronto, while the big corporate conglomerates double their net worth. We are virtualizing the world. So we have Bill Gates and his Gavi who want to vaccinate 7 billion people. So if you vaccinate 7 billion people, that's 700 and about 70 billion per shot. So he wants 4 vaccines on the COVID. That would be $3 trillion. Because now they're telling you, oh, these vaccines lose their potency now after 4 months. 3 months, 4 months.
Right.
Well, $3 trillion, Richard. The U.S. budget is between $4.5 and $5 trillion. If they dished out all the vaccines they want to dish out in a year on various things, that's $96 trillion. That's 5 times the U.S. national debt. We are talking about a transfer of wealth, not just through the vaccination program, but through the virtualization of our economy. So now we have Google Classrooms, we got Zoom courtrooms, everybody's working from home. All this shit feeds into the IT industry. It's all the same people. So you're
Do you think that's what this is really all about, Mr. Galati? That this is a reset? COVID is being used as cover.
Cover. Listen, I'm not saying it. Go read the World Economic Foundation reports.
Davos, Switzerland, right?
Yeah, go read all of that. I'm not making it up. I'm reading it, and I'm putting it into my statement of claim for my clients. So everything we predicted in July, filed July 6th, you can't lie when it was filed, at the time was being touted as conspiracy theory. Now it's understated old news, okay? They're not even making any pretense about it. They're saying it outright, right? This the whole compulsory testing is about collecting and storing DNA. How do we know that? In England and other jurisdictions now, they've passed a law that when you get compulsorily tested, and it's going door to door by soldiers, they retain your fingerprints and your DNA under the guise of national security. What the hell does a virus have to do with your fingerprints?
Excellent questions, all.
Law?
Let me ask you.
Passed that law. New Zealand passed that law. It's coming to you soon in Canada, too. Right?
Let me ask you why we are not seeing other groups or individuals joining this fight. So, for example, the Ontario Civil Liberties Association, where are they? Where is the OCLA in all this?
Well, I'll tell you, that's a good question. You see also, around the world, literally hundreds of thousands of medical experts and doctors are balking. So in Holland, they've called for an inquiry into what they have labeled publicly as a fraudulent pandemic. In Belgium, the nurses and doctors have sued the government for what they say is not a pandemic but a normal flu. The nurses, 77,000 nurses, have gone to court to say, we're not taking vaccines. If you want us to work, we're not taking vaccines. If we have to take vaccines, we're not working as nurses. You've got the White Brigade out there in the States, all these doctors who are being shut down and censored. You've got the great Clarington Declaration, on and on and on. You've got the doctors in Spain. You've got the doctors in Oklahoma suing the state government over these, what they call, bogus measures. I mean, at what point does the defecating in your diaper and the mantra of conspiracy theory really have to take a backseat to saying, well, do we need to answer this avalanche of world expertise? Can all these world experts be conspiracy theorists? This is ridiculous.
And one of the people I've been following. Sorry, Rocco. I wanted to ask you. We're coming up on a break here. I wanted to ask you. One of the people I've been following on Twitter is Dr. Kulvinder Kaur, from Concerned Ontario Doctors, and she's been very vocal about this. Her tweets have been absolutely magnificent, as far as I'm concerned. Have you been in touch with her or her group?
I can't speak about her case because I actually represent her.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, so I've come on board as her legal counsel. And that's right. Right? That's right. Everything she says was backed up by world experts. She didn't say anything that she didn't base on world experts and the peer-reviewed studies. And so all she was doing was asking questions, Richard. And she was hounded, and they're trying to scapegoat her, and they're not going to get away with it. You can be sure of that. They're not going to get away
with it.
I hope you're right. I also am representing a Dr. Stephen Malthouse out in B.C. who wrote a letter to Bonnie Hendry asking questions, and now they're hauling him in front of the college for just asking questions.
It's scary. I've never seen anything like it. Let me
you have.
Let me take a time.
McCarthyism, witch hunt, Catholic.
Ah, well, that was before my time.
Okay.
A little before my time, anyway. We'll take a quick time out, come back, and continue to discuss the notice of claim against various levels of government here in Canada for their response to the COVID pandemic. Attorney Rocco Galates stays with us. Hope you'll join us as well at 416-360-0740. Toll free from out of town, 1-866-740-4740.
Different views make great conversation. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett on Zoomer Radio. To speak with Richard live, call 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Rocco Galates stays with us. Rocco, I just want to clarify your position on the virus itself. We can talk about the overreach on the part of governments and their response to it, but Are you suggesting that the virus, or what are you suggesting about the virus itself? Is it real? Is it a fraud? What are your thoughts?
Well, I can't have a thought of that until they isolate it. I have no clue. It's likely a seasonal flu virus, but I don't have the expertise, and the experts haven't figured it out. So, but hold on to that thought, right? But everybody imposing these militaristic, fascistic laws pretends they have figured it out. Right? And
right.
We're talking about numbers and cases, and yet Trudeau and Ford absolutely refuse to disclose the nature of the medical advice they're getting and from whom. Now, how does that wash in a transparent constitutional democracy? And the reason they don't want to reveal who's giving them advice and what advice is that we have a deep, deep ocean of world experts who would look at that and give us a response. Right? They're making the rabbit perpetually disappear in the hat. I mean, is that a democracy? You shut down Parliament and you say, this is our advice and here's the actions we're taking, and we don't care who says otherwise, including the WHO and the CDC, who they claim to be following. The WHO has been very clear, lockdowns are a disaster. They're not working. So why do we insist on more vicious lockdowns? Not only is it irrational, they're urinating in the face of the citizens.
Are you surprised, disappointed with the opposition parties, not only in this province, but across Canada? For example, federally, the Conservative Party seems to be, very intent on investigating the whole We Charity scandal. But we don't see Erin O'Toole and the Conservatives at the federal level really pushing back against this. In fact, if anything, they seem to be on side. Erin O'Toole, the new leader of the Conservative Party, was saying we need to go into, war preparedness with this. I don't think he would be handling this virus or this supposed pandemic any differently. What do you think about the way that the opposition parties, mind you, there have been a couple of independent MPPs here in Ontario, Belinda Karahalios and Randy Hillier,
there are four now who have balked. They weren't independents. They're Ford's own MPPs.
That's true, until they were kicked out, yes.
Yeah, kicked out for what? For asking questions?
It would appear so.
Yeah, I mean, so there is no opposition, but there never really has been. You know, our political system is like an intramural high school football league. It's blue, red, and orange. Show me the policy or even philosophical differences between these three parties, right? And quite frankly, what happens, a great, great, great Canadian politician, an ex-client of mine, the Honorable Paul Hellyer, who's still alive, once told me that the problem with MPs is most of them don't know what they're talking about. And to show their ignorance, they just go along with the pack. Are they equipped? You think Doug Ford is equipped to deal with this pandemic? Do you think he has?
It would appear not. It would appear not.
Or Justin Trudeau have the intellectual acumen to actually assess and process the science and the medicine, or even the law on this? No. So they walk around in their suits pretending they know it all because they're not listening to anything or anybody. They're serving other masters. They're not serving Ontario. Or Canadian citizens. They're serving other masters and other agendas.
I want to ask you about something that's been distributed widely. This was seen on the Government of Canada's own procurement website, which is buyandsell.gc.ca. And it would appear, based on that document or that website, buyandsell.gc.ca, that the feds are seeking third-party service providers to construct and service quarantine facilities across the country. Now, what have you heard about this?
Well, of course I've heard about it. I've seen the documents, and they're public documents, and I talked about them at a speech I made at Dundas and Yonge Street at Dundas Square on the 17th of October. The military has procured obscene amounts of riot tear gas, the federal government's procuring internment facilities, and two more things that are not so broadcast, but they're similar public tenders. The federal government is looking for crowd control officers for 2025, and they advertised for neighborhood drone surveillance officers. And reading between the lines, they plan to survey neighborhoods, I don't know how big they are projecting them, with drones, and they're going to have monitoring officers monitoring the activities of neighborhoods. And I asked Mr. Trudeau publicly at that speech, what do you got planned? Why are these job postings already advertised? Crowd control? Drone monitoring officers? Really? For what?
Yes.
To chase the virus?
The riot control agent, I believe, was 36,000 units of tear gas.
Right.
That could also be seen, or unless they've taken it down, I don't know, but that was up at buyandsell.gc.ca.
Right.
All right, Rocco, we're heading into another break here. This was a short segment. We'll come back. One final segment before the top of the hour, second hour, Rocco.
Shaking the world and seeing what falls. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett from Zoomer Radio.
All right, welcome back. We have temporarily lost the connection with the studio, and I am now on the phone, so we'll try and reconnect with the studio and get me back on a proper microphone. But in the meantime, Rocco Galati stays with us, and we were talking about these quarantine camps. So, I mean, I've read in the newspaper that they, people like Brian Lilly from Sun News has said this is not true. It's not happening. How do you respond to people in the news who say, oh, this is just a silly conspiracy theory?
Well, it's a government tendering bid, for God's sakes. It's published on a government website calling for bids to build these things or house or provide the infrastructure for these internment facilities. John Tory had a proud, gleeful press conference when Trudeau gave him $14 million 6 weeks ago to build what? An isolation center. Well, what the hell is that?
Right. Now, these are voluntary at the moment. People who cannot social distance if they have, let's say, someone who...
That's a load of bullshit. They're not voluntary in New Zealand and Australia.
Rocco Galati is with us. And give us the website for for your organization, if you could, Rocco.
Well, it's the Constitutional Rights Center, which is Constitutional Rights, plural, and center is spelled the Canadian way, RE.ca, constitutionalrightscenter.ca. I also announced on October 17th I've hooked up with a career journalist, and we're establishing an alternative media platform called Wholehearted Media, because it's clear to me, I just want to join the chorus, it's clear to me that social media and mainstream media have become corporatized in the Mussolini sense, when Mussolini defined fascism as corporate rule, governance. He defined it as corporate governance. And so we're going to, I'm in the midst of trying to hook up a network of independent media platforms that are hooked up without the use of these major servers who can take you down anytime they want. And so I've hooked up with Rajwinder Kabli, who's a very intelligent, very capable, and very insightful journalist, and brings a lot to the table. I don't know how much I bring to the table, but I'm completely fed up with the BS that we're being.
This to me is one of the more frightening aspects of all this is the way that the journalists in this country, the media, have basically joined ranks with the government. It's become journalism by press release, by government press release.
Right.
And they have abdicated one of their fundamental responsibilities, which is to afflict the powerful.
Right.
To bring comfort to the afflicted.
I call them graduates of the Joseph Goebbels School of Journalism at this point. Right? But you can see how that happens, right, Richard? You know, Bill Gates is floating $20 million to most medium-sized media. The federal government fully funds CBC, but when Trudeau came into power, he's floating $400 or $500 million to each of the private major media. So, I mean, they're bought off. They're completely bought off. And then you can see that even if you have some integrity as a journalist, you're afraid for your job. And this is why a lot of the Canadian doctors are not speaking up, as opposed to American doctors, where medicine in America is a business in the absence of universal health care. Doctors, if they lose their OHIP privilege or their billing privilege, are out of a job. And so it comes down to people not wanting to lose their comfort. Let me share something with you. You know, I'm a lawyer, right? And most of my friends who are lawyers, virtually with the exception of one who's a co-director at the Constitutional Rights Center, have not read my statement of claim. And when I press them on it, first answer is typically, well, it's too long. I said, it's 191 pages, double-spaced. Have you never read a book? Right? And of course, they're offended by that comment. And then after a while, I realized, Richard, that they haven't read it because they know me as a lawyer. They know the kinds of cases I win, no matter how unlikely. And they know if I've drafted that statement of claim, there's going to be a lot of fact and reality in it. And you know what? They don't want to face that reality because they're okay with their privileged elite lifestyle.
Has the Bar Association tried to pressure you with regards to this case?
No. To their credit, that may be coming. I don't know. I don't know how they could pressure me. I can prove. I mean, there's nothing in the statement of claim that doesn't come from the horse's mouth. You know, everything we plead comes out of the words of the World Economic Forum, the Gavi, Bill Gates himself, right? And we're pleading facts. We're pleading scientific facts, medical facts, most of which are indisputable. You know, and the thing that's disputing them is the propaganda that's going out there.
Let me ask you, without getting, you know, too political here with the U.S. election coming up, do you think that if President Trump is reelected November the 3rd or whenever they end up counting all these mail-in votes, let's say November the 10th or whatever, that will significantly change, if COVID is being politicized and is being weaponized for whatever purpose, being used as cover, do you think that a Trump election or victory will change that at all?
Well, it all depends. I mean, he himself stated that he may not be around. He hinted he may be assassinated. I don't know if you caught that a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Yes, he was referring to Big Pharma
when he was lowering
vaccine prices.
Where he could have been referring to any segment of the military-industrial complex. But at any rate, assuming he gets elected and survives, then he could be, you know, he could be a factor that slows this down. But what is going to slow this insanity down in America, and not every country, but in America and some parts of Canada, unfortunately, and I shudder to think at the eventuality, is the fact that Americans are armed. There are 4.4 million registered and organized militiamen in the States, and there's no way the Americans are going to put up with some of the suggestions that have been proposed. You know, when you got 20% of Americans, and now we're up to about 20% of Canadians, who are adamantly saying there is no way they're going to take a vaccine if it's mandatory, because they have various concerns about the speed at which it's being developed, and they've opened their eyes to what's going on. 20% of the American population is 70 million people. It's a lot of people with guns.
What kind of response are you receiving from Canadians across the country?
Virtually on my platforms, I have a YouTube channel, and on my website, literally 99.9% supportive.
And tell me about the YouTube channel. How can people watch that?
Well, they go on to my website, and I've only posted about 11 of my own produced videos, but I have a media page that has dozens and dozens of videos from interviews and coverage of our case. So they go to the website, and they can go to the media page. My media page also reproduces all my YouTube videos in the event that YouTube takes them down, so I have them stored in the hard drive.
And again, that's constitutionalrightscenter.ca, Constitutional Rights, plural, Center, the Canadian spelling, C-E-N-T-R-E.ca.
Yeah, and the Twitter handle, I'm the only social media I'm on is Twitter, and the Twitter handle for the center is at Rocco Galati Law, R-O-C-C-O-G-A-L-A-T-I Law, L-A-W.
All right, Rocco, we're heading into another break, top of the hour. On the other side, you'll stay with us, and we'll open up the phone lines, questions and comments. My name is Richard Serrett. Please stay with us.
Live from Toronto, Canada, Earth, The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett on Zoomer Radio.
Thanks for inviting me into your home, long-haul truck, RV, camper, taxi, your parents' well-appointed rec room with the simulated wood paneling, electric fireplace, and the painting of dogs playing poker, your loft, that greasy spoon just off the interstate in your cabin in the woods. Hello to everyone listening in on our flagship station, AM 740, 96.7 FM, Zoomer Radio here in Toronto. And hi to those of you tuning in on one of our affiliate stations across North America. Hi there, those of you streaming us live at zoomerradio.ca and on the Zoomer Radio app, a free download. Those of you streaming us on my YouTube channel, Strange Planet. However and wherever you're listening, I bid thee the warmest of welcomes, and I thank you for your fine company. Constitutional lawyer Rocco Galati stays with us this hour as we continue to discuss the lawsuit he's brought forward, suing multiple levels of government for their response to the coronavirus lockdown. I'm not asking you, to give away your entire strategy, obviously, but I mean, what kinds of witnesses are you going to be calling once this hearing begins?
Well, I've got an endless line of expert witnesses that we some of whom we cite in the statement of claim. You know, we cite over close to four dozen witnesses. I mean, I may not be able to procure them all, depending on their availability, but we're gonna be calling leading virologists, microbiologists, epidemiologists, who say this is bunk, who say that this is, the measures taken, Richard, are astronomically extreme and are causing 12 times more death than they claim they're trying to prevent. It just makes no sense, right? And when less than one quarter of 1% of your population, you know, they've taken it. It used to be that the definition of a pandemic was when you lost about 7% of your population.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
We're at one quarter of 1%, which is below a bad flu season. 82% of whom are people over 70.
Right. Well, you mentioned the flu. It's interesting. We're not getting a lot of flu numbers right now. Are they?
Oh, no. Hold on. Sit down and grab your armchair. According to Health Canada, for the first time in the history of this friggin' planet, we didn't have a flu.
In other words, they're rolling the flu statistics into COVID statistics.
Exactly.
And what are we hearing in the U.S.? What is the CDC reporting regarding flu cases? Do we know?
The same, because they claim 270,000 people have died, They've also said that those are way overstated. In 2018, 182,000 people died from the flu in the States. 182,000, and nobody batted an eye.
Now, I know in the States, we've heard a lot about how they are in the hospitals have been incentivized to over-report COVID cases. Because
right.
If they,
in Canada,
Yeah, how does that work in Canada? Because in the U.S., someone who is hospitalized under, I guess, Medicare, the hospital receives something like $4,000.
Right.
If it's a COVID case, they get basically three times that. If they're placed on a ventilator, the hospital receives $32,000.
That's right.
How does it work in Canada in terms of the hospitals being incentivized to report COVID?
Well, they get more money because they have to take all the special procedures to dispose of the body and everything, you know. So I don't know the exact numbers, but it's the same here. But you know, that's not even the tip of the iceberg. That's not even the major offensive thing about it. It's how they calculate. It's how they characterize a COVID death. You know, the fact of the matter is that every year, including my mother a few years ago, an obscene number of elderly die in long-term care facilities, not because of the flu, but the shithole, rat hole conditions in these places that are there mainly for profit. You had 200, 300 beds, no ventilation, right? Everything circulates like a sewer, all right? It's like being in a sewer. People die unnecessarily. And what has the government done year after year? Nothing. 55,000 beds in Canada in these long-term care facilities are owned by a federal pension plan.
Wow, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. And so when they die, they don't have to pay out on their pension anymore, right? So, you know, Doug Ford talks about, oh, we've built one more facility. Yippee-frigging-do. He's appointed Frank Morocco, Associate Chief Justice of the Ontario Superior Court, who I respect to the upteenth degree, to do yet another judicial inquiry. Well, what's Justice Morocco going to tell you that you don't know? You're running
right.
Death chambers here.
Right.
We know that, because every year that many elderly die in the long-term care facilities. But with COVID, more of them died because they can't get out for a walk. They can't go to the garden. They're prisoners in their own rooms. They're under house arrest in their own residence. It's obscene.
It is absolutely obscene. The idea of someone in their 90s, not being able to see loved ones. There was a case in the United States where this couple that have been married for 60 years, the husband is in long-term care, the wife is not, and they have not, they've been separated for a year.
Right. Listen, Richard, they can't, yeah. when they visit, they can't do anything that's human. Listen, let me just, for 1 minute, not digress, but get to the rub of these lockdown measures. These lockdown measures have been designed to systematically, through fear, and torture-like techniques strip us of all our human attributes. They started with isolation, then social distancing, then masking, then don't hug your children, don't kiss your children or grandchildren. Now you can't have sex. You got to masturbate. Now, are we serious? Right? And so, you know, as a constitutional lawyer, my job is no more complicated than defending our human attributes. When you talk about a Bill of Rights or a Charter of Rights, you're not talking about rights bestowed upon you by the state. Those codified rights are actually codified human attributes that are supposed to protect you against the state trying to remove, suppress, or abuse human attributes. So, the right to think, the right to believe, right? The right to express, the right to associate, the right to assemble, right? The right to be free from arbitrary detention and unlawful search and seizure, and the right to be treated equally. Those are not rights. Those are human attributes that the Creator gave you. even if you believe the Creator is no cosmically bigger than your own mother. The state didn't bestow those attributes on you. They can only remove them. You know?
All right, let's go to the phones. Rocco, we have Bob joining us here in Toronto. Bob, welcome.
Thanks, Richard. And Richard and Rocco, thank you very much for your courage. Two-part question. Rocco, who are the puppet masters? Could it be the Chinese Communist government? And Richard, for you, is this a spiritual battle?
My client's view, and it's in our statement of claim, this is being orchestrated by the international billionaire and corporate oligarchs through the WHO. There's no question. The World Economic Forum, the Gavi, and don't take my word for it, read the latest World Economic Forum publications. We cite many in the statement of claim. They, through two McGill professors, and I was a McGill graduate, I'm going to be sending my degree back, they published an article about 6 weeks ago on, quote, how to make the human body an efficient information platform. They have volunteers where they've injected microchips to integrate with technology. We're not talking futuristic Borg scenarios. We're talking about present Borg scenarios. If you ever watched Star Trek: The Next Generation, they want to interface the human body with robotic technology inserted into your body, and the microchip vaccine is the first step. And don't take my word for it. This is what they're advocating. They're publishing. I'm reading what the horse is saying.
And the patent on that, Rocco, if it 060606, that's what I've heard.
Well, you know, they got to give it a number. But you know what I'm saying? And now the last publication from the World Economic Forum is, quote, 8 predictions for 2030. Prediction number one, they got a 22-year-old kid smiling, says, you will never own property, but you'll be happy. That's the World Economic Forum. And we lay it all out in July because it's at least 10 years old. This has been scripted. It was all scripted through the Rockefeller Foundation report that was leaked in May of 2010. And audaciously, they're flouting, they're touting it, they're flouting it, and then they're in your face with it. Nothing goes back to normal until we have a vaccine. If I have to hear that mantra again, I'm going to need a year's supply of fucking gravel.
Oh, we have to watch the language.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah. If you can
bleep it up.
Make a note of it. Yes, bleep that out, please. Let me go to the YouTube chat. And a question from D. Silver asks, what will be done with the DNA collected during COVID testing? What will be done with the DNA collected during COVID testing, Rocco? Do you know?
Well, I have a suspicion, but it's going to be banked. It's going to be banked, and they have your DNA. And you know, if they microchip you, which they're looking to do, Teresa Tam 10 years ago in a Canadian film board documentary was talking. She's on camera. We plead this. We transcribe what she says, that in such a pandemic like we're going through now, we're going to microchip and we're going to have bracelets, and anybody who hasn't had their required vaccine is going to be put in an internment camp until they agree to have their vaccine. We're not making this up. She says it on camera 10 years ago, and there she is, parachuted from the WHO. She's still working and getting money from the WHO while she's our chief medical officer, right? Doing this. And, you know, one of the things that's not off the table is a slow, methodical culling of the population through hidden sterilization agents in the vaccines, which they've done in Israel, and the Israeli Supreme Court came down hard on the Israeli government for literally wiping out the Falasha tribe that came in the 70s through vaccines. The Roma in Europe, I don't like to use the term because I represented the Roma and set up the Roma Community Center, what people refer to in a racist fashion as the gypsies, have been sterilized since Hitler through vaccines. So this is not futuristic stuff. It's happened. It's happening, and they're proposing it.
I neglected to mention to answer Bob's question earlier of his two-parter, whether I think this is spiritual warfare. Absolutely, I do. This is a textbook case of spiritual warfare. I mean, we're always battling against principalities, not against flesh and bone. Now, we have YY asking, is there a connection between the rollout of 5G technologies and the lockdowns?
Yes. And we know what that is. Again, you know, Richard, I'm a lawyer. I rely on evidence, okay? Where I see 5G being rolled out is from the representations of world leaders. And so we know from the Dutch security minister 2 weeks ago, she confirmed that 5G is going to be used for crowd control. So if they had... The way 5G is going to be used for crowd control is through the social apps on your cell phone and or the microchips in your body. 5G can be turned up to send out a signal that actually will burn your skin. So if you got a cell phone or you've been microchipped and you go out to a protest, they can zap you with 5G. 5G, more importantly, for the first time, gives governments the bandwidth capacity to survey and track every human being on the planet. Now, the intermediary mechanism is the cell phone. I don't have a cell. I don't have any internet or data on any cell phone. I have a walkie-talkie to talk to my daughter. I have never owned a cell phone that can be tracked through internet or data. I saw this coming 18 years ago when I was doing intelligence cases, right? So the 5G is out there to survey you, and in case you get into a protest, to disperse crowd control. And they can survey you. If you don't isolate yourself, you can't go out because they'll track you down.
All right, let's go to Skip, checking in from Connecticut, a loyal listener. Skip, good morning. Welcome.
How you doing, Rocco? Yeah, I understand your frustration and being upset. I mean, if you look at Bill Gates, for example, I have a second thing I want to bring up, but look at the Corbett Report podcast. He did a four-part series on it, about 4 hours.
Yeah.
His primary business for Bill Gates had been abortion and infanticide was really where his primary focus was, and sterilization through various means. For example,
right.
In India, he left 500,000 children sterilized. Now, what that does by paralyzing them, basically, by giving massive doses.
Well, we plead in the statement of claim the atrocities in India and Africa, and by his vaccines, and now even the WHO has conceded several weeks ago that the only polio cases in Africa are from Bill Gates' vaccines. That's the World Health Organization itself admitted. We have not had a naturally occurring polio case since 1979. All polio cases since 1979 have been caused by the polio vaccine itself.
Skip, thank you for the question or the comment.
Yeah.
So what do we do at this point? You know, we can't advocate for unlawful activity here from the citizenry, but how do we push back in order for them to get a clear message that enough is enough?
Well, the way we do it is by protest and legal action. I got to tell you, Richard, our legal action has already had an impact in Ontario. October 3rd, because we were bringing in a masking injunction, which we still will with respect to the schools. October 3rd, Doug Ford put in new province-wide regulations that have made basically masking voluntary. What the new regulations say, and it's regulation 364-20 under sections 2, 4, and 6, is that you can claim an exemption, not just on medical grounds, but on any ground protected by the Human Rights Code, which includes creed, belief. And once you invoke an exemption going into an establishment, under subsection 6 of section 2 of the regulation, no one is allowed to ask you any particulars nor are you required to provide any evidence of your exemption. So virtually speaking, it is now a voluntary system in that, in whereby you invoke your exemption and that's the end of the story. So lawsuits, protests, and simply asserting your rights. Now, there are a lot of people, the news hadn't spread that what the new law is, asserting your rights, ignoring. The store owner says you can't come in, you go in. If you get ticketed, you fight it. The law's on your side.
You're saying that mask wearing in Ontario is now voluntary and that this
effectively
this regulation,
it is if you invoke an exemption, because nobody's allowed to probe what your exemption is. So if you don't believe in masks, that's a matter of creed under the Human Rights Code, and it's protected as an exemption under Section 2, Sub 4, Sub K of the regulation, and under Section 2, Sub 6, when you invoke an exemption, no one is allowed to probe or request evidence to prove your exemption. So it's virtually voluntary.
Has this been tested yet?
No, but the
has there been a test case?
If you go to any store now, the new what do you call them, city posters they put up say you have to mask unless you have an exemption, which includes under the Human Rights Code, and you do not have to provide evidence of that exemption. It's very clear. They're posting this now in all the stores.
Interesting. And yet this is not being
And my clients
reported.
Rightfully take credit for that change, because these laws will not survive court scrutiny when it gets to court, Richard. They will not. They're obscene. They're overreach. They cause more damage than they protect anyone.
How much longer do you think this lockdown can go on without doing irreparable harm to the economy in Ontario specifically, because that's where we're broadcasting from? I mean, or have we already reached that point?
No,
are we
beyond
the point of
past that point, Richard. Trudeau has spent almost 2 years worth of a budget. He has spent over $500 billion. The annual budget runs between 260 and 280 every year. He has spent well over $500 billion. And it's funny that you mentioned when you interviewed me in 2011 on the Bank of Canada, and you recall back then saying, no, we can't use the Bank of Canada to just print money. Where do you think he got the $500 billion for his fascist agenda? He printed
Bank
it for the Bank of Canada.
There you go. We got to take a time out, Rocco. Stay with us. Back with more in a moment. Don't go away.
Don't be afraid of the dark. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. To talk to Richard, call 416-360-0740 or toll free 1-866-740-4740.
Welcome back. Rocco Galati stays with us as we continue to discuss His civil action, his lawsuit against various levels of government here in Canada with regards to their response to the COVID-19 lockdown. And we're going to go right to the phones. Joanne is in Toronto. Joanne, good morning.
Hi, Richard. I'm wondering if you're familiar, Rocco, with Dr. Catherine Horton of stop000.org, stop 007. It's about the chip. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Well, on her website, stop007.org, she can show you, and I went to Canadian Tire, I bought a $15 UV flashlight, and I flicked it in my eye, and if it flicks back lime green, you're chipped. Well, I went about the neighborhood checking people's eyes. They're all chipped that I've run into. So it's a great thing to do to find out what is going on. Are you chipped? $15 a Canadian Tire.
Mm. What's the machine called, sorry?
It's just a UV flashlight.
Oh, it's just a UV flashlight.
If you go onto that website, she'll show you the flashlight she bought in Germany or whatever, but she'll show you a picture. It's lime green in your eye.
Yeah.
And You know, she hasn't found anybody yet that isn't chipped.
Right. As I said, I deal with hard evidence, but it's always been a concern to me why this particular test requires a long swab right up the navel cavity, really deep. I mean, never have they tested this way. I mean, usually a spit or any other fluid will test for a virus, Richard. Why?
Interesting.
Put
interesting point.
Right up the navel cavity, virtually close to the brain, for God's sakes. Why? You know,
excellent question.
A nanochip right now is the size of a grain of crushed black pepper. If you've ever put pepper on your salad, you know, the one of those little specks, that's what a nanochip looks like. That it's that size. You would hardly even see it.
How long before you see the governments in Canada trying to impose some sort of a COVID passport?
Well, they've already done it. That's 3 months old. We predicted that in our statement of claim. Canada signed on to the original 14 country for a COVID passport back in June. I'm sorry, July, mid-July. We've already signed on to that, Richard.
So once a vaccine is introduced, you won't be able to do what without a vaccine passport?
You're not going to be able to renew your driver's license, hop a plane. Maybe they might try to pull the same BS, not going to any stores and buy food. They will track the masking laws unless there's enough pushback. So you can't do anything that you couldn't. Just like the masking laws, if you don't have that COVID passport.
This is sounding like end of days kind of stuff, Rocco.
Oh, it's past end of days. It's past
so,
end of days. People say, "Oh, this is like 1984." I say, "No, 1984 was a novel. This is real. It's way past 1984."
So there's a lot riding on this case, to say the least.
Well, there's not just a lot riding on the case. There's a lot riding on people standing up and saying, go pound sand. You can't have my human attributes. You cannot dehumanize me. You can't have my constitutional rights. They belong to me. That's what you have to do. Stand up. You know, civil disobedience, too, Richard, has a long and dignified history in our tradition, right? It started with David Thoreau, who said, I will not pay my poll tax because of the way Native American Indians and black slaves are being treated, right? And then it was adopted by Muhammad Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. in their struggles, right? There's
right.
Nothing wrong with civil disobedience, standing on your rights, getting ticketed, getting charged, and fighting it in court so that you can indicate to the government you do not have the constitutional right to do what you're doing. What you're doing is illegal. It's extreme, it's obscene, and it's illegal and unconstitutional. And because the alternative is what you're seeing in Europe. Italy is ablaze. Italy, Prague, Ireland, you're having riots now.
A question from chat. I think you've sort of answered it, but there may be some other things you can add. What can the average Canadian do to contribute to this fight, Rocco's cause? Okay,
well,
so you've mentioned civil disobedience.
You know, they can phone, write their MPs, protest, whatever you can and feel comfortable with. Everybody has a different comfort zone. And if you want to stay isolated but don't agree with these measures, write the Constitutional Rights Center a check, so we can continue with our work in the courts. I mean, I'm going to be that crass in my pitch, Richard. Do what you can and do what you must.
ConstitutionalRightsCenter.ca. ConstitutionalRightsCenter.ca.
Yeah, they can donate with credit card, or the address is on the website. They can send a check or donate by credit card. You know, the government banks on nobody's suing Richard, because it takes a hell of a lot to mount a lawsuit. And this is why you don't see lawyers lining up to take this on. In fact, lawsuit with my clients is the only lawsuit in the world that actually attacks the measures at its base. not the technical procedures of who put in the measures, whether it's the legislature or the executive, but saying these measures are constitutionally flagrant. There is no basis for them, and they got to go.
You're the only, this is the only legal action of its kind in the world?
Substantively challenging all the measures. There is a lawsuit by Oklahoma doctors in Oklahoma against masking. The Canadian Civil Liberties Association did an unsuccessful lawsuit because in Newfoundland, residents not being able to fly in during the COVID. But nobody has said the lockdowns, the emergency is without legal basis. The parliaments have been shut down. The measures have no scientific or medical basis, and therefore they're irrational and unjustified and extreme. And they substantively breach these charter rights, and the measures have to go. They got to go back to the drawing board. This is not constitutionally tenable. All other constitutional challenges have been strictly on the basis that the executive, the governors, the ministers can't bring in these measures. It should be the legislature. Well, that doesn't cure the problem if the legislature passes the measures.
How confident are you that the Superior Court of Ontario is actually going to give this a fair hearing?
As confident as I am about winning in the casino. But I've won a lot in the casino. You know,
right.
If you look at the history of my cases, Richard, you know, they all start off by government lawyers screaming that they're frivolous and vexatious. And in fairness to the government lawyers, in 37% of the cases, they may be right. Because I lose 37% of my cases. Not because they're frivolous, but, you know, for different reasons. You know, even the best baseball team can't win every single game. But I win 63% of my cases. And all my cases are out there. And they're unlikely to ever win, so they say, because in most of my cases, Richard, nobody actually is looking at the evidence and the law. They just engage in the cafe culture of making a decision in the ignorant, vast space of their own vacant mind. You know, Aristotle said it, don't judge the messenger, judge the message. And with me, they're always judging the messenger. Despite my huge win ratio, they always try to portray me as a clown. And that's because of racism. I'm a short, little Italian, you know, in their mind, WOP. And they just try to make me look like a clown. But they can't. They can't. As one federal court judge once said in a case I was arguing on terrorism in response to a Crown attorney, saying, oh, Mr. Galati's this and he's that and he's that. And the judge turned on and said, hang on a second. If he's all of that, why did he win so many cases in this court? And the judge
is this
said,
the most important?
Deal with his argument. Don't give me a rundown on your assessment of his personality.
Is this the most important case of your life, Rocco?
Well, by default, yeah. I mean, I can't think of a bigger case, right? This is not national, it's not provincial, it's not sectorial. This is a worldwide, you know. Have you ever seen world leaders line up in agreement on an agenda, Richard?
Not like this.
No. And so why do they criticize my clients and call them conspiracy theorists when this is something that's never happened? And, you know, I just want to remind your audience that the notion of a conspiracy theory was invented by the CIA to deflect questions about the JFK assassination and to undermine Martin Luther King's civil rights movement. I am not a conspiracy theorist, and my clients are not conspiracy theorists. What I am is a very astute, capable, competent conspiracy analyst.
Well, conspiracy is also a legal term, right? I mean, there are conspiracies.
I used to work in the Department of Justice. We prosecute drug conspiracies all the time. All a conspiracy is, Richard, is two or more people agreeing to effect the same end. And if that agreement is criminal, it's a criminal conspiracy, which is a felony in the States and an indictable offense in Canada, punishable by 14 years. If that conspiracy is civil and it damages somebody, you can be sued. Conspiracy is a tort.
Exactly.
So I'm not offended by when they say, well, you're alleging a conspiracy. And in certain cases, I say, I certainly am, and here's the evidence.
Exactly. We've got to take a timeout, Rocco. Back with more in a moment. 416-360-0740. Toll free from out of town. 1-866-740-4740.
When you look at the sky, ever wonder if someone's looking back? This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett from Zoomer Radio. To speak with Richard live, call 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
All right, let's go right back to the phones. We have Tony in Oakville on the line. Tony, good morning. Welcome.
Yes, good morning.
Hi there.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. You're on the line with Rocco Galati.
Oh, good. There was a noise there. Yes, I'm referring to Rocco Galati's success in the courts, and he was recently involved with the Comer lawsuit, which was to redefine the law with respect to banks. I think specifically Section 165, brackets 3.
Bank of Canada Act, yes, we've mentioned that. Yeah,
That the banks can literally write checks and put them against people and collect. That case was dismissed. The judges just said, this is a political issue. And they said, for the good of the people. So they kind of put it in that way. Is that something that could happen in this case?
Anything can happen in the that case had two rounds. On the initial round, the government tried to dismiss it. It was not dismissed. By the time it got back on the second round, it, unfortunately for us, or fortunately, it got so much publicity and people were in tune that the courts realized how big the issue was, and we got the Supreme Court of Canada to shut the door in our face, wouldn't allow the case to go forward. So can this case have the same fate? I have my doubts because in this case, people are actually suffering, Tony. People are dying. Okay, the Bank of Canada, they said it was a political issue. It had to do with nothing but money. It was a serious issue. But here, people are dying from the measures themselves, and we can prove that. So one way or the other, the court has to deal with the issues.
Thank you for the call. How will this trial be conducted? Is this trial by jury or a panel of judges? How will it work?
Well, it would be judge alone because it's for declaratory relief. And, after whatever happens, we go to the Court of Appeal. From there, if we go to the Supreme Court of Canada.
All right, back to the YouTube chat. Art by Sid asks, Ontario Municipal Act Regulation 586/06 has specific exclusions of private property. Does this mean that municipalities have no power or authority on private property?
Well, in the Section 8, you can't enter a private property without a search warrant. There's only one exception to that. Hot pursuit is what they call hot pursuit. If you're chasing a bank robber or a murderer, or somebody who shot somebody, and you're the police chasing him, and they run through a property, the police can run after him in hot pursuit. But in other circumstances, you need a judicial warrant.
In Australia, of course, they've empowered the police to go into private citizens' homes. We're seeing this happening in New York City as well.
Yeah, Australia doesn't have a Bill of Rights, Richard. That's why they're testing all these lead balloons over there, right? And they're doing it to see how the citizens react. Australia doesn't have an entrenched Supreme Bill of Rights like we do in the States or Canada.
Darkness No More asks, I heard they're trying to pass a bill that will essentially throw out all lawsuits relating to COVID-19. Was this done because of your action?
Partly, but people are misreading that act. Bill 218 does not throw out lawsuits at large. What it does is, in the event that somebody goes into a store and the store is not completely ensuring that everybody's masked, let's say, and somebody gets sick and decides to sue the store owner, what Bill 218 says is if they made their best efforts, they can't be sued.
All right. So
it doesn't kill our action, or it doesn't kill an action which I'm having templates mounted on my website to say that if somebody doesn't respect your exemption, you can sue them.
So give us a status report again. Again, this statement of claim was filed back in July.
Right. They're going to answer soon. We're bringing an injunction against the schools in a separate lawsuit against the school principals, superintendents, and school boards across Ontario because they've decided to not follow the Ontario binding regulation and make up their own law. So we're going to be suing school principals, superintendents, and the school boards as well.
When you say they're making up their own law, what do you mean specifically?
Well, they're ignoring the fact that you have an exemption there. The ministerial guideline said that junior kindergarten to grade 3 don't have to mask at all. A lot of the schools are forcing them to mask. The law says you can invoke an exemption and they're not allowed to ask you why. School principals are demanding medical notes and then they decide whether or not the medical notes are legitimate. Completely renegade criminal acts. We're going to move to also have them charged under the Provincial Offenses Act. They're ignoring the law. See, people, Richard, when they want to make, when they don't like the law, they pick and choose. And these little tin pot dictators think they have all the power in the world, right? So they say, well, you're invoking an exemption because you want to try to get around the law. No, the exemption is part of the law, moron. The exemption
and again,
is part of the law, and if you breach it, you're chargeable just as well as if you refuse to follow the first part of the law for no good reason. And so these principals and superintendents and school boards are simply enacting their own law, contrary to the provincial law on masking.
This separate action is, who is the plaintiff?
Well, we've got about 100 parents who are signing up on, who are signing on board very soon.
And this will be also this will also be
school boards across Ontario.
This will also be filed with the Superior Court of Ontario.
Yeah, but we're going to bring a very quick injunction to say, listen, you simply cannot ignore the provincial law. And
all right.
Also suing for damages.
And what are the damages? Can you say?
Well, we're going to sue for it. We'll have to pick a number. You know, Richard, there are documented cases now in Ontario where teenagers have committed suicide over the masking laws.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. Kids are committing suicide.
Unbelievable. All right, let's take one final time out. And last call to the phones for Rocco Galati, 416-360-0740. Toll free from out of town, 1-866-744-740.
The truth is not out there. It's right here. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett from Zoomer Radio.
Just a quick programming note coming up next week on The Conspiracy Show. Charlie Robinson, the co-author of The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire. He'll be with me for the full 2 hours. The following week, Rex Baer. From the Leak Project. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Rex's work on YouTube. He's got a huge following. That's Rex Baer, the Leak Project, for the full 2 hours on in 2 weeks. And we're going to try and put together kind of a simulcast on my program and his program at the same time. The following week after that, Whitley Strieber. Whitley Strieber will be with me. So there's a look ahead for the next 3 weeks on The Conspiracy Show. Always check in with strangeplanet.ca. That's the website. And that's how you can keep track of everything. Let's say hi to Melanie. I believe Melanie's here in Toronto. Melanie, good morning. You're on the line with Rocco Galati. Go ahead.
Good morning. I wish I had caught the beginning of it, but I'm sure I can hear it again. What I wanted to know is, it seems so hard. We're supposed to have, the courts are supposed to be the people's court, belonging to the citizens of this country. Yet when you try to get transcripts, or, for example, I wanted them from my own trial involving a police officer, I had to sign a document that stated that if I reveal any of the information on the PDF file, I believe, I had to sign a I would be fined $25,000, and I could even go to prison. Now, how can our judicial system, you know, say to us that, you know, everything is open and everything, they want everything to be truthful, and yet they put such constraints on evidence, and especially if there's corruption, let's say, in our government, our institutions, or in policing especially, that, you know, there was a stay of proceedings due to police corruption. How easy will it be for us to get information that's given in court by yourself?
Well, you know, that case must have been subject to a publication ban. I've always advocated the presence of cameras and a live broadcast of court proceedings. I've never been one for publication bans, for in-camera hearings. I've resisted that my entire legal career. Jeremy Bentham said it best when he said that the only thing that keeps judges honest is publicity.
All right, Melanie, thank you for that. Let's see. I think we've answered this one already, but I'll get you to reiterate it because this is important. You were referring to the voluntary aspect of the mask regulations now in Ontario. Sigma 6 on the YouTube chat asks, can we be legally exempt from wearing masks simply by expressing verbally that we are exempt, or do we need written notice? Again, I think you've answered that, but let's just reiterate, Rocco.
Regulations are very clear that if you meet one of the exemptions, and they're very broad, because if you need reasonable accommodation under any basis on the Human Rights Code, you're exempt, that once you articulate that you're exempt, you're not required to provide any evidence of your exemption.
All right. Now, I'm anticipating that most shop owners won't be aware of that. There may be even some police officers that aren't aware of that, and you may be ticketed or even, you know, forcibly removed.
Right. And that's why next week the first of my templates are the center's templates are going up. We have a template statement, a claim to sue store owners and police or bylaw officers and the Human Rights Commission if you make a complaint to the Human Rights Commission. If that happens, and the templates will just require you to fill in the blanks as to who you are, the store, and if you and the municipality where the police removed you, and then you make a human rights complaint, and if they do nothing, included in that statement of claim is the Human Rights Commission. There'll be a very small nominal donation fee for that template. You take that to small claims court and sue them all for $35,000.
All right. And again, it's Constitutional Rights Center.
Right.
.ca. And again, center is the Canadian spelling, C-E-N-T-R-E.
Right.
ConstitutionalRightsCenter.ca.
Right.
D. Silver asks, when and how will this end?
That's a $60 million question. It all depends on how much pushback the governments get from the population. If they don't get enough pushback, you're going to be living in a science fiction, futuristic, global dictatorship. Run by the billionaire and corporate oligarchs of the world. And that includes the Chinese, Russian, Indian, European, and North American oligarchs. You can count them, you know. The list that's been made that's at the high end shows you that about 700 people rule this world, if we let them.
We've had weekly protests now in Toronto every weekend.
Right.
How was it? Have you been attending those regularly? How have they been going?
I made a 30-minute. I had a 30-minute speech on October 17th. There were at least 4,000 at the beginning of the rally. By the end of the rally, there were close to 9,000. Of course, CBC reported it several hundred. I was there. I can count a crowd. They've been getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
And where are they held?
Dundas Square and Queen's Park.
Every Saturday?
Virtually every Saturday, yeah.
And how have the police reacted? Have they
I've only been to one of them, that one, and the police are very cool about them. I make a note that I spotted 9 uniformed officers standing shoulder to shoulder practically on the Eaton Center side of Yonge Street across from the square, and only one of them was wearing a mask.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The in Ontario, I mentioned Belinda Karahalios, now sitting in as an independent member of Queen's Park from Cambridge. Randy Hillier, also an independent. Belinda Karahalios has announced the formation of a new party in Ontario called the New Blue Party of Ontario. How important a step do you think that is?
Well, I think it's an important and admirable step in terms of signifying. I mean, she took a principled position in voting against the COVID measures. But to be brutally honest, I don't think slicing a part of the blue cake will do it. I think any new political party that comes up has to be a party that totally rejects the corrupt matrix of our political system.
Well, my understanding is that will be part of their platform is anti-corruption. It's not just a conservative party. It will be fighting corruption and also the lockdown.
Right, and that I think is very valuable. So if they're fighting the lockdown, then people should join them.
Again. You've been monitoring the government procurement sites. Let's just go, because this was back in the first hour we talked about this. For people who are just joining us late, what have you found on the buyandsell.gc.ca website with regards to quarantine camps, anti-riot agents, and so forth?
Well, we found massive procurement of riot tear gas. We found procurement of internment facilities. We found hiring for 2025 of riot control officers, and we found for 2030 they want to hire drone neighborhood surveillance monitoring officers.
Have any of these points were they mentioned in your statement of claim?
No, because when we filed, it was July, but we're putting them into the affidavit on the injunction. I'm filing an updated affidavit updating what's happened since July to the present.
All right, Rocco, I can't thank you enough for spending the last 2 hours with us. This has been a real eye-opener. I wish you nothing but Godspeed with this case, and let's stay in touch and let me know any new developments, and we'll get you back on the program.
Right. Thank you very much, Richard, and it's hard to believe 9 years fly that fast.
I can't believe it either. And again, it's constitutionalrights.ca. Constitutional Rights Center.
.ca. That's correct.
And,
very much.
All right. Thank you, Rocco.
Bye-bye.
All right. My thanks to Carlos Cagini and also Ryan White for technical production, live stream production. Back next week with a brand new program. In the meantime, don't be afraid. There's nothing concealed that won't be revealed and nothing hidden that won't be made known. What you hear in the dark, speak in the light. And what I say in a whisper, proclaim from the housetops. Move over, Aphrodite. I'm coming home. Good night.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.